Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Alan, and it's been a very long time since I recorded a podcast, so I just wanted to get back in touch with the people who have been waiting for the next installment of my podcast. I have been sort of trying to sort of sort my life out a little bit, to some extent or other. Not very successfully, I would say. But I have been focused on at least trying to build our kind of freedom resistance community in my local area, which is near London, and yeah, that's been going fairly well. I found it very interesting, what with the COVID regulations coming, and obviously all the obedient, unquestioning, scared people locking themselves in their houses, the people who weren't so quick and willing to resign all their freedoms have been looking out for more like-minded people to break the rules with them. And so this is certainly sort of what's drawn me towards lots and lots of other like-minded people who are also looking for the same thing during this sort of time of this sort of mass insanity, as it seems. I have a lot of different opinions on this freedom movement, and if you watch some of my latest videos, and I'll leave links to my BitChute channel and my YouTube channel, both of which I've had problems with. I'll leave links to that in the description to this podcast. But yeah, I am quite sceptical about this so-called freedom movement, and of course with Boris Johnson very recently announcing that the Freedom Day, the much anticipated Freedom Day of the 21st of June, was going to be delayed. And now it's going to be sometime in mid to late July, I believe. So let's just put that in some sort of perspective with what's sort of been going on this year, and that's these very, very major protests against lockdown, against vaccines, against masks, and just generally in support of everyone's basic human rights of, you know, being able to decide whether or not we take medications, and a decision to not take any particular medication shouldn't mean that we do not get access to our society. We shouldn't be excluded from exercising our rights based on whether or not we choose to take a particular medical procedure. But all these kind of things with COVID, and to be honest, this is part of the reason I haven't made many podcasts for a long time, is because I'm actually just sick to death of this this COVID nonsense. And in a way, I would wish they sort of unleashed another huge psyop on us, so we could at least get our teeth into something else. But as I say, as this year has been progressing, and as these big protests, especially in London in the UK, have been getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the last two protests, you know, could have easily had sort of 2 million people between them, sort of thing. We're talking very, very major protests, each bigger than the last, and the fact that even since this last massive protest, Boris Johnson has decided to delay the lockdown, which indicates to me that at the very least they are completely unconcerned about the freedom protests that are happening, or even more suspicious is they're actually actively encouraging resistance to their policies. and I do really believe that this is the case. And as I've mentioned in a lot of my previous podcasts, the phenomenon of the establishment manufacturing outrage and resentment towards itself, or towards the establishment that it's perceived to be. And this is always how revolutions are kicked off, because if you have a completely content and relaxed and, you know, happy populace who don't have any major problems with the ruling establishment, then how are you going to get a revolution out of that situation? No, you have to manufacture sort of very you know, strongly felt resentment to the establishment as it's perceived to be, because that's the only way that you can harness that anger and frustration and everything else to create a revolutionary movement, sort of thing. And I do think that, you know, this is what's happening, at least in the Western world. I think it is destabilizing, it is disorientating and confusing, and these are all, you know, benefits to the elite as well, because they want us confused and disorientated, and you know, because that places us in a situation where their fear mongering can work on us, and we'll internalize it all, and be very easy to control as a result. But you know, and I combine this COVID thing and these ongoing restrictions, and you know, this absolutely senseless restrictions that blatantly, even by their own admission, by their own statistics, they don't work. And I'm talking about lockdowns, masks, and well, you know, and there is no virus, so there is no, you know, there is no contagion, there is no, you know, disease epidemic at all. So obviously vaccines are just, you know, it's not that they don't work, they do work, because they injure people, and they you know, and that's the point of them. They don't have side effects, they have effects, they have active deliberate effects on people that are categorized as side effects. And these effects include, of course, sort of death and paralysis and whatever. And you know, the whole, as I've talked at great length with people like Dawn Lester about, the fact that you know, contagion and viruses have never, you know, and no sort of microbe has ever been proven to have been the cause of any disease or anything like this. You know, you know, if you go to my YouTube channel, you'll be able to watch a long discussion with Dawn Lester, who wrote the book What Really Makes You Ill, and she explains in great detail about the fallacy of the germ and virus theories of disease. So yeah, all these steps are, I believe, designed to manufacture outrage amongst a significant but not majority percentage of the population, because all these dynamics are and demographics and things are actively managed, in my opinion. So they don't want everyone following the rules. They want a certain proportion of people following the rules, but if they want to create a revolutionary movement, that will be managed as well. And they know that, you know, the vast majority of people will just go along with whatever is happening, and they're non-player characters, if you like. They will just go with the flow. So in terms of revolutions, you don't actually have to mobilize too many people or radicalize too many people in order to get that revolution to go through, because you fake it anyway, you know. they control all the military, they control the media, they control the government, they control all the revolutionaries or whatever, you know. They can, it's just about creating a plausible narrative to go along with their complete transformation of society. And what I was going to go on to as well, as aside from the ongoing deliberate, predictable extension of the restriction of our human rights with regard to COVID. We also have these other psyops going on. The Jeffrey Epstein psyop is massive. We've got Ghislaine Maxwell's trial coming up. We have things like the Assange situation, which is deliberately designed to manufacture outrage against the West. We have obviously the Prince Andrew situation, which is designed to manufacture outrage against the royal family. We have this William and Harry conflict going on, which is another sort of soap opera designed to, you know, call all these establishments, you know, and institutions into question, sort of thing, you know. And I'm sure, you know, it won't surprise you to hear me say, I don't buy any of these fake conflicts. You know, I don't buy this, obviously, I don't buy this Harry versus, you know, William conflict one little bit. You know, Harry was the co-chair of this recent Vax Live event, which went out online, like an online concert sort of thing, attended by lots and lots of celebrities. I think Selena Gomez presented it, or, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, he's absolutely part of this whole elite, just the same as they all are. You know, he's there pushing the vaccination. So, you know, forget Harry if you think he's offering something different. Not at all. So yeah, I mean, so why do they want to manufacture outrage and manufacture revolution? Well, I believe that. And I don't understand the Bible well enough, and this is something I'm trying to, I'm really trying to sort of get in the right mind space to really research it properly. And obviously, there's huge, huge problems with translations of the Bible and interpretations of the Bible, and naturally with Christian institutions, which have, you know, in my submission, probably always been corrupted by Antichrist people, you know. But I think the truth lies in there. And I think, you know, in terms of Revelation, they talk about the crowning of the beast sort of thing, you know, the reign of the Antichrist. And I believe that this is sort of what we're working towards, or at least what these sort of Judeo-Masonic, you know, Babylonian establishment is working towards. So I see things in perspective of that. So we have all this sort of very, very sort of, in a way, obvious agendas that are being pushed out there by the United Nations. And they've even used the term, officially, the term New World Order in terms of the United Nations. You know, they're public, you know, and obviously coming out of the World Economic Forum, we have the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and all this kind of thing. Well, you know, for me, that seems all too telegraphed, all too obvious in a way. And I believe that this new global establishment will actually replace what we are supposed to be building up towards with regard to the UN 2030 agenda. And I don't know exactly, obviously I don't know, and I don't think anyone does who isn't on the inside. We don't know, you know, what their next steps are going to be and how they're going to progress towards the crowning of this Antichrist character, if that is indeed the plan. But I do believe that prophecy has to be fulfilled. I do believe that is not, you know, that is something that cannot be broken, and so therefore it's just our understanding of that prophecy that sort of that determines how well we understand what's going to go on, in my opinion. I believe the sort of satanic establishment understands that prophecy cannot be broken, and they understand that they have to exist within the bounds of prophecy as well. And I think they play to that. So what they're, you know, so I just believe all this, you know, because let's face it, okay, if their objective was simply depopulation, as we always hear about, you know, we see the Georgia Guidestones, we hear Bill Gates about talking about depopulation, and you know, Prince Philip before he died, if he is dead, and we see these, you know, people banging on about depopulation. But to be honest, what's the quickest way to depopulate? It certainly isn't, you know, create this year-long, you know, virus scenario followed by a long drawn out vaccination campaign. It really isn't. Like, if you want to kill a lot of people quickly, you start a war, or you create an economic crisis, or you know, there's all sorts of quicker ways, I would say, to get to the point of depopulation, and maybe those things are yet to come, and maybe yet to come soon, perhaps. But I don't, you know, if it's purely about depopulation, then really, the vaccination route is not a very good one. Plus, it has to be said that the people that are taking the vaccinations are the people that are the most mind-controlled by them. They're the most owned people by them. So they're not really killing off their enemies. They're killing off their most obedient slaves, aren't they? Which, you know, is you know, gonna maybe do something to bring the masses' population down, but it will only mean that the resistors occupy a greater and greater percentage of the population, you know, which is interesting in itself. One thing that really is sort of concerning about the resistance movement, if you like, or the alternative community that has evolved in reaction to the lockdowns and stuff, that the New Age ideas are very, very prevalent. And in fact, especially, you know, in my area, and I can't speak for all areas, of course, of the UK, but in my area, it's a very, you know, there's a very, very low proportion of Christians, and a very high, I would say, although people don't necessarily kind of identify as, oh, I'm of the New Age religion sort of thing, but you can get that their ideas are all about New Age. It's all about one consciousness, it's all about us all being one, it's all about raising vibrations and meditation and yoga and you know, chanting, and or you know, it's clear that that it's incorporating a lot of New Age ideas, and that New Age ideas are very popular and very unopposed, you know, and New Age ideas go down very well in these groups, you know, which you know, because you know, in my submission, the New Age kind of Gaia Earth worship stuff, you know, the sort of renaissance of ancient paganism is really where we're going, and you know, that goes all the way back to ancient Babylon, and I you know, so we, you know, you know, we have all these people now numbering in their millions in the UK identifying as the awake, but having absolutely no connection with Christ, completely rejecting the Bible, and incorporating a lot of these New Age ideas, you know, and I think they're really, really just getting the wrong end of the stick. And I think it's very dangerous for such a large number of people who are convinced that they're, you know, very, very awake. I think it's very dangerous, that in itself, although there is a general acceptance of you know, non-violent principles and other, you know, pleasant principles and stuff like this, you know, which is all good, you know. And so I'm not saying these are necessarily dangerous people that are, you know, have a violent disposition, that very, you know, they're not your antifas, you know. These are generally good people that want to stand up for our rights and for the rights of our children and everyone else in our country. But the sort of the predominance of these ideas is concerning, and it's not just New Age stuff that is concerning in these resistance communities. It's also the Q stuff has also done the rounds here as well, and even on the big protests in London, you see numerous people with, you know, MAGA hats and, where we go one, we go all, and all this kind of Q rhetoric. So, you know, that is another thing that has infiltrated into, or is, you know, has seeped into this movement. And yeah, you know, I guess what I'm trying to do is to bring them some truths, you know, because all these people, you know, they have a natural, objection to all this lockdown stuff, which, you know, is perfectly sane and reasonable to object to all this stuff. But for a lot of them, it's this situation that's caused them to take a stand. You know, they weren't into looking into alternative theories before COVID. It's COVID that has brought them out of their comfort zones, if you like, into this, you know, world of alternative truth. So a lot of these people are very new to the the quote unquote truth alternative movement sort of thing. So they haven't done their research. They don't know. They don't know anything about history. They don't know anything about who's really running the world. They don't know anything about the quote unquote jury or the Freemasons and stuff. You know, they don't have that grounding in a real strong understanding of how this world works and who controls it. And you know, without that grounding, they're very, very easily led and misled. And people like, obviously, and I've mentioned David Icke on previous podcasts of mine, but he's very, very, very popular. You know, in fact, David Icke was on the recent protest in June in London. I saw him. I actually saw him on the one before that as well. He's been turning up there fairly regularly. These protests are actually a place for these sort of characters to turn up and to publicize themselves, if you like, you know. I look at people like, for example, Russell Brand. Now, you know, I talk about him a fair bit, Russell Brand. I mean, in my videos that I've made, and if you are just catching up on this podcast, there's a fair few videos to catch up on, and I apologize, because I'm terrible at sort of telling my audience where they can go and find my other work, sort of thing. And I've noticed that I've actually got quite good sort of numbers of plays on this podcast channel, and I really should have stuck with getting information out to you this way. I do like the video format, and I'm drawn to it myself. But then again, I'm divulging, and this is a very, very off the cuff chat with you today, because I'm because that's the mood I'm in, I suppose. But yeah, I've had all sorts of trouble actually uploading my videos and stuff to YouTube, even to BitChute. I've had videos that I've uploaded to BitChute, and they've just never gone past that processing stage, and they've never been able to get up there. And I've you know, reprocessed them, re-uploaded them in different formats, and all tried all sorts of things, and they'll play on all sorts of different players, but they won't get uploaded to BitChute. And I'm sure that's because of censorship. So, you know, for all the problems I've had with videos, I should have just stuck with podcast.com, because I've never lost an episode to podcast.com as far as I'm aware. And I'm getting really good numbers of plays. I've noticed that my episode on the Jewish billionaires funding the anti-vaccination movement has had nearly 20,000 plays, which is amazing. And I had no idea that it was getting that kind of number of hits, because this is the first time I've actually logged on to podcast.com for months. But I just felt I really owed you guys something, because I do have some, you know, I do have great people that offer me a lot of support, and goodness knows I need it from time to time. But, you know, because I do feel like I'm quite out here on my own doing this kind of stuff, and I don't really seem to have too much support, but I do really appreciate the emails that I was getting when I was putting out regular episodes, and that was absolutely great. But anyway, that's a tangent, you know, going off talking about my administrational failings. But yeah, anyway, so with the COVID stuff and all these celebrities, and I was just mentioning Russell Brand, because Russell Brand, I think, is a character that's very interesting, because we can be completely confident that Russell Brand is on the side of the rulers, and I think he's a very, very senior member of the establishment. And I'm not saying he's some messianic figure or anything. I'm just saying he's clearly important, and we can tell this by by who he's dated. He married Katy Perry. We can tell it by his prominence in the mainstream media in lots and lots of different fields since he was very young, sort of thing. So I think he is probably likely a very, very elite bloodline. So I think we can be very confident that Russell Brand is working against us. And I don't think I'm being very controversial in saying that. But from understanding and being confident about that, we can analyse what Russell Brand is doing now, and basically extract from that what the establishment, what an acceptable opinion to have, with regard to the establishment, sort of thing. I'm probably explaining that appallingly. So basically, Russell Brand, I believe, is on the far, far resistance edge, supposedly anti, New World Order edge of the content that the establishment's putting out. So we see Russell Brand, and if you don't follow him, you can, of course, and I'd recommend don't spend hours watching him, because it's not worth it, but you get a taste. He did a series on the Great Reset, which was critical, questioning. It was it was highly critical and cynical of the World Economic Forum and of this Great Reset, and he put together pieces of this story that, you know, are absolutely true, and he encourages people to ask the kind of questions that they should be asking, like, you know, how, you know, why do we need a Great Reset? Who's going to benefit from this Great Reset? You know, what does it actually mean to us? Why, you know, and he's been critical of, you know, things like vaccine passports and things like this. He's been critical of all these kind of different things, and I find that very interesting, because Russell Brand has a following of about 3 million people, 3 million subscribers, that is. Some of his shows even get more than that. But you know, he's a very interesting character, and this shows me that it's not that everyone is supposed to uniformly go along with everything, wear your masks, take your vaccines, shut up, stay at home. I don't believe everyone is supposed to do that. And if everyone was supposed to do that, and I don't think Russell Brand will be encouraging people questioning these things. I think they're trying to create conflict. I don't know exactly how it's all going to work out. But yeah, I think if we don't understand even who is running us, then we don't understand why they're running us, and we don't understand where they're trying to take us. If you're in the dark about any one of those aspects, especially if you don't even recognise who is running the, you know, this thing, and there's all sorts of ways of describing this establishment, in my opinion. So you know, it's not about being perfect in your description of who's running the show, but it's about understanding the mindset and the religion, actually, of the people that are running our world. So I do not think that Donald Trump's finished, and I think I mentioned it on a previous podcast, or it might have been in a video. How interesting the content coming out of Sky News Australia is, because it is extremely pro-Trump. It's also very critical of the New World Order, WHO, the UN, etc. And you know, it's sort of very kind of anti-liberal. And of course, Sky News Australia is part of the same group that owns, you know, Sky News in the UK, that owns The Times, that owns Fox in the United States, for example. So and a lot of the companies that are incorporated into this Sky parent company, they deliver very, very different narratives between them. You know, you have like Sky News Australia, which, for example, is very, very pro-Trump, sort of right-wing, you could say. You know, in that fake right-left paradigm, they're on the right side. They're very pro-Trump, they're anti-liberal, they take the mick out of Joe Biden all the time, etc., etc. You get the picture. Exactly how Fox is with, probably even more fanatical about Trump than Fox is. And then, for example, you've got Sky News in the UK, which is pretty much like the BBC. So it's kind of interesting how these different channels under the same umbrella parent company or whatever, how they operate and give different narratives. So that's something very interesting. And for this reason, because Trump is, you know, he's in the background. He's, you know, obviously he's, you know, he's having a bit of time off or whatever, you know, but I believe his popularity and his profile and everything is still extremely valuable to this establishment. And I think that if they do want to make a move to get to somehow manufacture things so they can crown the Antichrist, then Trump could easily be involved in that, in my opinion. And yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see with all that kind of stuff. But as normal, we can't look, you know, we're not privy to their plans. We can't look into the future, but we do know that whatever major crisis is thrust upon us, we're going to know that it's a load of nonsense, because we recognise these things straight away now. We can't be fooled like we were before. You know, we've grown through 9/11, through 7/7, through all these fake shootings, through Sandy Hook and the, you know, Boston Marathon bombing, and through, the Manchester Arena bombing and through all these, you know, fake shootings, fake bombings, you know, and this, you know, to top it all off, this massive fake virus that's had the whole world locked down. So we cannot be fooled anymore. We will not be fooled. We will know the lies as they're telling them now. We will not be weak enough to fall for their lies anymore. And so this is something I do take some solace in, that there will be a lot of people that will be able to see through the lies as they're happening, and deliver information straight away to people in support of that sort of that fact that it will be, whatever happens, it's going to be fake. It's going to be exactly the opposite of what they present. Whether it's, you know, whether it's a manufactured war, a fake war, a fake cyber war, a fake alien invasion, you know, a fake fake climate emergency, you know, it's all fake. Everything is fake. So we're going to know. We're going to know straight away. So they're going to have to, reckon with that. So I have done quite a lot of videos on various things in this sort of gap that I've taken with my podcasts, and I have more recently been investigating the leading proponents of Q, including Michael Flynn, Lynn Wood, and other people like this, and they're both very interesting characters, and Lynn Wood especially is interesting because he represented the Ramsey family, the family of the supposedly murdered John Benet Ramsey, and I'm actually probably coming to the opinion that this John Benet Ramsey never even existed actually, and that all the footage and things of her were simply either edited footage or completely manufactured footage. But I don't even think this person exists or ever existed, to be absolutely honest, this John Benet Ramsey. But interestingly, because it was obviously like a massive, massive story, it was kind of like the American Madeleine McCann, that he was the solicitor of the Ramsey family. He was also the solicitor of the mother of the missing schoolgirl Holloway. What was her name? Caitlin Holloway or something. Let me just look it up. Natalie Holloway. So he represented the mother of this Natalie Holloway, another very, very major story. Now, she went missing in Aruba, and this had obviously massive, massive consequences on the island and everything else. And there's a whole, you know, these sort of investigations turn into soap operas in their own right, with all these different characters and it keeps people entertained, which is what the point is, I think. So he represented this, the mother of Natalie Holloway as well, and funnily enough, the John Bennett Ramsey, the supposed father of John Benet Ramsey, actually ended up dating the mother of Natalie Holloway, the missing Aruban young woman. So that's kind of interesting. Old Linwood also represented a guy called Richard Jewell, which Clint Eastwood recently made a film about. I say recently, in the 21st century, made a film about him. But he was fingered as the leading suspect in the Atlanta centenary bombing at the Olympics. And it eventually transpired that he was actually a security guard, and he was initially called a hero because his actions apparently had saved lives at the time, because he got people away from the sort of the site of the bomb. But then he turned from hero to suspect, and then he was sort of leading suspect in this case, and then he became acquitted, and then many years later, Clint Eastwood made a film about him. But again, you know, Lin Wood being involved in a very, very, very major story, an international media story, representing one of the major sides. So he seems to regularly pop up in these massive media stories, and I believe that these massive stories are always fake, and I believe that lawyers on each side they're not fake, they're real lawyers, if you like, but they're just, you know, they're insiders. They play the game, they know what's going to happen, they play their part, they're basically actors, that's what they do, they act, you know, they present their, you know, sort of, you know, an acting project is very, very similar to appearing in a court of law and representing someone and advocating for a certain position, sort of thing. It's basically acting. It's basically the same as being a politician. So the fact that he's involved in all these very, very large events absolutely stinks to me. And knowing that Lin Wood also has represented none other than Sheldon Adelson, the recently deceased multi-billionaire Jewish Zionist casino owner, and one of Trump's biggest funders. In fact, I think by far and away Trump's biggest individual funder, along with his wife Miriam. You know, Lin Wood has been employed directly by Sheldon Adelson, and to be honest, why would a Jewish multi-billionaire, you know, leading sponsor of Zionist settlements in Palestine, etc., etc., why on earth wouldn't you get yourself a Jewish solicitor? I mean, it's not that there's a shortage of Jewish solicitors to choose from, is it? Let's face it. So, I mean, the fact that Sheldon Adelson chooses Lin Wood as his solicitor, it seems to me that Lin Wood has to be Jewish, does he not? I mean, is that a stretch too far? If he's not quote unquote Jewish, which is obviously, you know, the whole who are the Jews, all this kind of stuff comes into question. But I mean, if Lin Wood isn't Jewish, then he's clearly a very, very senior insider Freemason, and Freemasonry's more or less crypto Judaism, and they're both basically crypto Babylonian mystery, you know, Luciferian cultist organizations, aren't they, really? You know, that's where it all goes back to, sort of ancient Babylonian pagan mystery school stuff. You know, the thing is where the all roads back leading, you know, if we look at the establishment, leads back to Babylon, in my opinion. So however we want to describe this establishment, that, you know, it just cannot be that Sheldon Adelson will be employing some honest goy as his solicitor. I'm sorry, not possible. So yeah, Lin Wood's very interesting. Michael Flynn's also very interesting. He's quite closely connected with Iran, which I go into a bit in my video of Michael Flynn. He's also connected to James Woolsey of the CIA very closely. He's on his board. I basically go through the board members of the Flynn Intel Group for this video, and expose connections with Michael Flynn and certain things that Flynn has been paid for, like, for example, having dinner with Vladimir Putin at the 10th anniversary Russia Today celebrations, for example, an event that he was paid $45,000 to attend, and all these kind of little nuggets that really throw hopefully throw some doubt on the people that say that these guys are the heroes of the United States and they're going to lead to some revolution, some nationalist patriotic revolution against the the liberal satanic pedophiles, or however the deep state, or however whatever childish way they like to describe it. Again, if you've got a strong grounding in who really runs our world, then you can't get fooled by the Q deception either, but so many people just haven't done their work. They haven't done their own work, and this actually really, really is a source of frustration for me. I mean, I've actually been having rows in my local group in the last few days about the Holocaust, and I've been losing friends as fast as I've been gaining them, really, and because it ain't the time to pander to people's sensitivities and withhold very important truths from them. People need to know about the Holocaust, because it's very, very important. It's clearly important to our rulers, so therefore it has to be important to us. And there are distractions, of course there are distractions, but I don't think that that it hurts to put a little bit of effort into understanding the truth about the Holocaust. It doesn't take much to get to a pretty solid understanding. If you know where to look, that's the point. And I'm hopefully helping people look in the right places to come to a more, a more real understanding of sort of what the quote-unquote Holocaust really was. Like with the Q stuff, if you've got a real good grounding in what's going on in our world and who runs it and what their motivations are, etc., then you're not going to be fooled by Q, and you're going to recognize New Age poison when it's sort of dangled in front of you. So that's I guess what's occupying me at the moment is trying to help all these people in my local community to expand their knowledge about who's really running things and everything else, because I am concerned that that this COVID thing may be designed to be a catalyst for a revolution to bring about a new order of the world, which could lead to the crowning of the Antichrist, and with it the unification of all religions, which is obviously very, very actively being worked towards, through this Sternberg Interfaith Medallion that is given out every year, and the recipients including, for example, the Queen of England, the Pope, David Dangour, all sorts of very, very significant people win this award. And that's another thing to keep an eye on. The whole interfaith movement is a crucial foundation to a future PSYOP. And I think this future PSYOP has to be a fake return of Jesus Christ, I believe. I think that's the only way they can unite all the religions together. So it's likely the Antichrist will appear as the return of Jesus. But if we are tuned to recognize the truth, and if we're in touch with if we recognize truth, if we're in touch with our Father in heaven, and we're in touch with Jesus Christ or Yahushua or however you want to call him, then we're not going to fall for these deceptions, and we're going to recognize that it's a deception. And I, you know, I think, you know, how will you unite sort of Islam and the atheists other than some monumentally earth-shattering event? And it'll be fake, because they always are. So, you know, I think we've got a lot of major events on the horizon. And, you know, I just, you know, I guess I'm concerned, because I don't believe I'm where I should be with my creator at the moment to, so this is a bit, you know, this is a concern of mine sort of thing. And I'm sure lots and lots of other people have that concern too. I really just need to crack on, study the Bible and pray a lot more and things like this. I think that is what I'd be well advised to do. But yeah, anyway, that's between me and my Father in heaven. But yeah, so I hope this hasn't been too excruciatingly boring or disorganized or whatever for you. I do apologize to you for sort of leaving it so long to put out another podcast. All sorts of chaos has been happening in my personal life, unfortunately, but you know, there's no excuses. I'll leave the links to my BitChute and my YouTube channels in the description to this podcast, and I'll also I'm going to start an Odyssey account very soon as well, because I think that maybe I'll have a bit more luck with Odyssey, because I gather that lots and lots of people are now broadcasting there, and it seems to be, for the time being, a fairly uncensored platform. So I think this is going to be the way it is. We're just going to have to keep moving platforms all the time, and you know, that's just the nature of things, because at the end of the day, we've got a an establishment with infinite money to throw at anything. So just like they run all the alternative media channels, they also run all the alternative platforms, they run you know, all the alternative everything. So that's just the way they go about their domination. But yeah, anyway, I'll leave it there for you today. I will endeavour to get more podcasts out to you, because I do like the medium of podcasts, and I really have appreciated the feedback. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm just like a normal guy struggling along in his life through lots of problems, not doing very well, and just, you know, trying to contribute something to the truth. And, you know, just, I don't know, just I guess because I feel I need to do something, even though the situation seems just completely ridiculous a lot of the time. I mean, it's better to do something than to do nothing, isn't it? And if someone can enjoy what I've got to say, if someone can learn a bit from what I've got to say, if someone can get a bit of clarity from anything I've got to say, if I can leave a little nugget of information that may result in someone else following it to some really interesting and, you know, really mind-blowing conclusion, then that's fantastic. You know, we can all have this collaborative effort, I think, you know, and you know, we all do our little bit, you know. But yeah, anyway, I won't waffle on any longer, wasting any more of your time. But I will try and get more podcasts out to you as well. And yeah, well, God bless you all, and yeah, fingers crossed. Good luck with everything. Okay, bye bye.